Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Ryan Michaels here with your boy Chip Tiernan.
What it do?
What it do? Really not a ton going on after opening day. It's just Phillies, the Flyers breaking hearts.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm going to say that am I the only one who kind of just assumed that something similar was going to happen to what's happening now?
Yeah, it's you know, I didn't think it'd be this level, but man, their defense is horrible.
Yeah,
it's so bad.
Yeah,
they have the worst save percentage in the league, and man, it's pretty bad right now.
Yeah, I mean, what they've lost three straight, one in overtime to the Islanders, I believe. That was a 4-3 loss in OT. They lost to the Sabres. That's a tough one. And they lost to Columbus. Yeah. So they play the Canadiens again tonight. And
I'm just not – I don't have a lot of hope at this point. Yeah, they're in a bad spot, man. I don't know what they can do to kind of get out of this. I mean, they're just – they don't – They can't play defense, man.
It's a 7-game losing streak at this point, I think.
Yeah, and they're giving up, what, 5, 6, 7 goals a game at this point?
It's like 4.
It's still not good.
6 was the most recent. Well, no, they gave up 6 to the Leafs, too. You have 7 to the Lightning. Good God. Oh, God. Oh boy. Well, no, they beat the Sharks, excuse me. So it's not a 7-game.
The Sharks are horrible, though. But
oh, wait, I was on the wrong dates.
No, it is a
7-game losing streak.
They're on a losing streak, definitely.
They gave up 6 to the Rangers, 4 to the Panthers, 4 to the Canadiens, 5 to the Blackhawks. Yeah, 4-4-6. Yeah.
You're just not going to win with that.
At that point, you're not giving your goalie even an opportunity. So.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You need the literal messiah in goal.
Yeah, it's a shame that, you know, they started off so well, kind of gave this fan base a little bit of hope, and then, you know, recently fell off a lot, and, you know, now they're potentially not even going to make it. So, I don't know, man. It's expected, but also still disappointing at the same time.
Look, I mean... Come on, did everyone really expect this? Going into this season, I had no expectation because I didn't want something like this to blindside me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it would be different if they just didn't play well at all throughout the season. But, you know, we've seen them. We've seen this team go out and play really well against some really good teams. And again, anytime you play well in this city, the fans are going to back you up and they're going to, you know, they're going to get hope again. And that's exactly what happened. But right now it's not looking good.
Great.
Yeah.
Everything's great. You know?
Yeah, sure. I guess.
The Phillies did okay against the Nationals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. They still just don't look like themselves. I don't know. I mean, you know, they're winning games. They won the series against the Nationals, but you know,
they
in the final
Cardinals.
Game,
I mean,
beat the Cardinals again. But you know, they had a 3-1 lead going into the ninth. Hoffman comes in for the save and blows it, and they have to go win in extra innings. Now they did, which is nice, but you know, they just don't. They don't look or seem like themselves. You know, like I said, the last game of the National Series easily could have been won. A lot of missed opportunities in that one. You know, the pitching, I think the starting pitching overall has been solid. I think the bullpen has been great. And then, you know, hitting wise, nothing crazy other than Harper's 3-home-run game. Other than that, not much. I mean, Marsh is off to a really good start. You know, after Harper's 0-for-11 start, he's been fine. You know, Schwarber is Schwarber. You know, I mean, people are saying he's getting more singles, but, you know, he's still striking out a ton.
Mean, look, the fact that his average isn't below 200
at this point
is kind of neat.
Yeah. But Turner started off really slowly, kind of starting to pick it up a little bit now. But Castellanos has been really, really bad. Probably our worst hitter at this point. I mean, other than Rojas, I guess. But he had three hits last night, so I don't know.
Yeah. Castellanos, I think, is only hitting 100. He's hitting a buck.
Yeah. So really bad start for him. Just, I don't know. Looks really bad at the plate, if I'm being honest.
So we'll go through all that throughout
the podcast. And Stott, too. Stott's off to a slow start as well. So
we'll go through all of that because, again, there's not much to talk about this week.
Yeah.
But we are here for your listening pleasure.
Sure.
So, yeah. UConn won the national championship again.
Eh.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
I don't.
I mean, if NC State made it, that would have been pretty fun, but it was UConn Purdue. So Purdue almost pulled to Virginia, but they didn't.
They almost did.
Came up short yet again, yeah. Per usual.
Yeah. In my head, I thought to myself, if Purdue didn't win it, they're probably gonna never win it.
Yeah, I think this team might have been their best that they've ever had.
I don't think that they're going to have talent at that level.
No, I mean, Zach Edey was freaking unstoppable almost. You know, just good. They had a really good team. But, I mean, honestly, UConn was that much better. So
I don't sleep on the Big East, I told you.
Yeah, no, it's you know, Big East. It only had three participants this year, but all three were really solid teams. And
yeah, but the three participant thing was BS. And that's my own personal bias. But there was look, I'm not even clamoring for Nova to have made it. I think the St. John's and Seton Hall should have clearly made it.
Seton Hall definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Seton Hall definitely, St. John's should have.
Yeah.
But
Seton Hall won the NIT, right?
Yep, they did.
So, yeah, I think Seton Hall definitely should have made it. It was a fun tournament otherwise, you know, expected winner, honestly, but it was fun. NC State, that was a nice run for them. You know, a couple teams didn't expect, kind of made some runs as it happens every year, but it was still a fun tournament. So.
Well, I got nothing left at that point. What you say, Chip? Hey.
Let's cue the Rocky music.
You're listening to a Philly Sports Nation production,
enhancing your Philly sports experience.
There is no huddle this week.
But still go Birds.
But go Birds. Philly! Oh,
well, okay, actually, we extended Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
That was good.
Good news. Mock draft next week.
Mock draft next week, yes. Boom.
Boom.
Mic drop.
NFL news.
Mic drop. All right, have a nice one, guys. That was it.
All right, thanks for listening. Yeah, no. Phillies, let's talk Phillies. They're not really playing all that great. And, you know, I wanted to ask this to start off the podcast because I knew it would probably make you simmer a little bit. So forgive me for being a maniacal little a-hole, but.
You love it.
I do. Look, every year, the past 2 years, for example, when the Phillies have gone on their runs.
Yeah.
We say the same thing in April and May and June and then half of July. And then they play well. Why are we worried right now when the past 2 years should be sample size enough to know that this team will get it together by the time it actually matters? They haven't played like a division winner in 2 years.
Yeah.
All regular season. And it might just be that they are a wild card team, and that is okay as long as they're able to win.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, obviously, you know, them doing what they did the last 2 years, and if they can continue to do that, that's great. But also, it would be nice, you know, if they, you know, at least fought for the division. You know, I've been saying this for a while, you know, if they got off to good starts, they could easily win 100 games and be in contention for the division. So I don't know. I think, you know, again, if they go out and do what they've done the last 2 years when it comes to playoffs and stuff, all right, then I don't really care. Maybe they're just better. They prefer to, you know, be the underdog. They prefer to play the wild card series. They prefer to be, you know, all this stuff. They, you know, they prefer to be, to upset the Braves each year. So I don't know. If that's the case, then fine. But, you know, we know what this team can be, and we know how good they can be. And when they're not playing up to that, it's still frustrating. It is. So that's, you know, I'm not panicking by any means yet. It's still extremely early. We're only, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks into the season. So I'm not panicking by any means. They're 5-5 as we record this. You know, they're not 2-8 or 1-9 like the Marlins are. So not panicking yet, but I know this team can be a lot better than what they showed so far.
Yeah, I mean, they have a series coming up with the Pirates, who have been surprisingly really good so far this season.
Yeah, some surprising teams. Pirates, Tigers have been played
Tigers,
pretty well.
Tigers been playing great.
So, yeah, some surprising teams so far. But again, it's very, very early. I think the Pirates got off to a good start last year as well, and then kind of fell off. So
that's true. The Astros started slow this year, which is the first time in like what feels like 2 decades.
Yeah, like I said, Marlins off to a really bad start. The Mets are off to a really bad start, which I love.
Look, when I see the Mets fans complaining online,
I love it.
So fun.
It's the best.
It's like, oh, my misfortune is nothing compared to this. I'm gonna revel in this while it's still here.
Yeah. It's great, man. Love when the Mets lose. A couple surprises so far. Phillies wise, again, we know what they can be. So,
well, let's talk about the one elephant in the room. Is Nick Castellanos alive?
He's terrible, man. I don't know what's up. It's back to Nick Castellanos 2 years ago. You know,
and you talked about this last week, I believe, or we did it when we were just chatting.
Yeah.
But we always hear, oh, you know, they're working on these things where they're not chasing so much. And then you go into the game and you watch them chase a slider that's 10 feet off the plate and could have hit the old lady sitting in the front row. And you're wondering, what are they talking about here?
Yeah, I don't know, man. He just continues to do it. Like, I've never seen a player continuously make the same mistake over and over again.
We're not talking 1 year and then it changes. We're on year 3.
Yeah, it's been happening since we got him. So, well, I mean, I don't know about beforehand because I didn't really pay attention, but I'm sure it happened prior to with him with the Phillies. But since he's been with the Phillies, he's been doing it the entire time.
Is this the third year of his contract?
Yeah, this is the third year. Yeah. The first year was bad. Second year he bounced back, and then this year is now. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He's not like striking out a ton. There's some games where he strikes out a lot, but like he's making contact, but it's just like fly balls and ground outs and, you know.
Yeah, but see, like, then again, the old thing is if you're making contact with the ball, eventually the hits will come.
That's what I'm hoping.
So if you're evaluations right and the strikeouts aren't really there at this point, then at some point you have to think it's not going to be a trend for the strikeouts. But contact, look, some of those fly balls in the dead of summer could be home runs in the front row.
Definitely.
Because, you know,
especially in Citizens Bank Park,
humidity, wind, you got all that.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And again, I think last night he went like 0-for-4 with one strikeout. So, you know, you're hoping, you know, some of that contact can turn into some hits eventually. And hopefully right now he's just unlucky. So we'll see what happens with him. But he's batting 7th right now. You know, they moved him down. I think actually he might have started off the year batting 7th. But I don't know. Maybe he hits better when he's up in the lineup. I don't know. But right now, you can't really hit him up there because he's just not producing. So
speaking of the lineup, since you brought it up, let's pivot over to the next point that I actually intended to bring up, which is, do you believe that Kyle Schwarber should still be batting leadoff?
I don't have a – I mean, I still probably would prefer he didn't, but I don't have a huge problem with it. We know it works. You know, we've seen it. We've seen them at their best when he's there. I'm more concerned with the bot. Like, I'm actually more concerned with the cleanup hitter and also the bottom of the lineup. Because so far they put JT in the cleanup, and then last night they put Bohm there because JT got the night off. So I think they're right now they're sticking with JT. You know, I honestly, I love JT, obviously, but I'm not thrilled with him in the cleanup. You know, that's why, you know, Schwarber could potentially go there, but yeah, I don't know.
That's the thing. Your cleanup hitter should be, look, Kyle Schwarber's mold is a cleanup hitter. He's there for if the bases are juiced, he's the guy that gives you the best chance to hit a ball.
Right.
I mean, and by hit a ball, I don't mean make contact with it because his average is an abomination every year.
Yeah. You want to hit it to the moon.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking with someone else about this. Rob Thomson coming from Joe Girardi's system when Aaron Judge was the leadoff hitter in New York.
Yeah.
This is carryover effect from Joe Girardi's system.
Yeah.
Now, you see other teams that tried it and pivoted away from it, but the Phillies are sticking true to it. Yeah. Now, I think, and don't get me wrong, the Phillies' offense is so potent, I could see the argument, but if you don't have a true cleanup hitter right now, and I'm not trying to offend JT Realmuto because he's good, but
yeah,
I don't think he's a cleanup hitter. I think he's more of an all-around type of contact guy who can hit a home run.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I always was a fan, and maybe that's just the traditionalist in me, of having a quick contact guy first to get on base and then set the table for the 3 and 4 hitter.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Again, we're not that old, but we've been watching baseball for, you know, forever. So, you know, when we were growing up, that's exactly what it was. You had the speedy guy up there at the top. You know, you had more of a contact guy in the second hole, and then your power hitters are 3 and 4. So
3, 4,
you know,
that's 5, really.
3, 4, 5, yeah. I mean, if you were that good, 3, 4, 5, 6 even. So
6 and 7 were usually still good hitters on an MLB team. And then
your 8 and 9 is guys, you know, out there just for maybe defense or, you know, maybe other contact guys. Like
honestly,
that.
It was contact and speed at the bottom, too.
Yeah, sure, too. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just how it was with us growing up. The game's changed a ton since then. You know, even over these last, 4 or 5 years, it's changed a ton. So, you know, I understand that the game is just played differently. And again, it's not like I don't hate that Schwarber leads off, but I think I would prefer if he didn't. Like, I would love if Stott maybe did, or even Turner, or you know, I think those are probably the two best options in my opinion. But
yeah, again, that's what I was thinking. Honestly, again, and then we go back to it. They need to do a better job of making sure that their players are everyday players instead of only against righties too.
Stott needs to play every day. I don't care if there's a lefty. I don't care who's pitching. Stott has to play every single day. Honestly, Marsh should too. With the start Marsh has had, he should be playing every day.
Rojas has been
really bad. Other than last night, he got a couple hits. I still really don't care. I think you should give Pache a shot. You know, let him start the next couple games, see what he does. You know, if not, then maybe look at potentially trading for a center fielder. That's what it comes down to, in my opinion.
Honestly, do you really need to? That's the thing.
Or you move Marsh back to center and put Merrifield in left.
Yeah.
Could do that.
You already
well.
Have these pieces. I think what they really need is a solid, consistent bullpen arm.
Oh, they need a closer.
They don't have, you know, I was listening to 97.5 the other day on the way home, and Ricky Vitalico was All of Philly radio has gone downhill, but I had nothing to listen to, and my phone was dead.
I will say I like Ricky Bell a lot, though. He keeps it real.
They took a call, and the caller said that, hey, I wish the Phillies – it was something along this line. I don't remember. They actually had a solidified named closer. And Ricky Bell was like, no, that doesn't really need to be a thing anymore. It's like, it definitely should be. They have guys that can do it, and that's really what should matter. It shouldn't matter that one guy is. I could be misquoting him or I misunderstood because it was so long ago, but
there should be, it
was contrary to there should be a named closer, and that they need a closer. You can't have a setup guy go out for a closing opportunity. They are two different feelings when you're out there. If you're a pitcher and you go out there and you're like, oh, this is a different setting, I'm not used to this, you might not go your way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I agree with you. I think I'm more, again, it's the traditionalist in us. You know, we grew up with guys, with teams having that set closer role. You know, the guy who gets 30 to 40 to be even possibly 50 saves a year.
Yeah, I grew up with Brad Lidge having historic performance, right. Trevor Hoffman, Mariano Rivera. Like, those are three names you should never forget.
Right, legendary closers, you know.
Well, Trevor Hoffman and Mariano Rivera are in a completely different league. Well, but in Philly, you should know Brad Lidge.
Of course, Brad Lidge is a Philly legend.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I think teams still do, you know, a lot of teams still do have that set closer. And the Phillies, for whatever reason, just haven't had that the last few years. I don't know why. I think they have guys who could do it, but also they could go out and get somebody. Like, if Rob Thompson went to a press conference or whatever, said Alvarado's our closer, I'm fine with that. But have you seen enough out of him in those situations? Like, I know he's been great. I know he's, you know, he throws gas, obviously. He's been really good. But in those closing situations, has he shown you enough to be that guy consistently?
I think he's a setup guy.
I agree.
He's always been a setup guy.
Yeah.
And he's also notorious for the occasional blow up.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, they gave Hoffman the save last night, which he blew, obviously. I'm sorry. You know, I like Hoffman. He had a really nice year last year. He's not a closer, man. I'm sorry. Like, he's a good sixth or seventh guy, maybe. He's not a closer. Sir Anthony had the potential to be a closer. He's not either.
Now, this is a question too. This is going back to last week when Brogdon was DFA'd.
Yeah.
Now, me personally, looking back on it now. Yeah, he did.
They not traded him for some guy. I don't even know. They got him. They got some guy from the Dodgers system, but whatever. Anyway, continue.
In hindsight.
Yeah.
It's so early in the year. Couldn't you have worked on something mechanically rather than just pulling that trigger already for someone who had been good in the past?
Yeah, I think, again, you know, he was great in 2022, especially in the playoffs. Really bad last year, dealt with some injuries. And then this year, I'm pretty sure he was out of minor league options at that point. So you couldn't send him down. And he's not hurt. You can't put him on the IL. So at that point, he's using up a roster spot. So, you know, I'm not really – I mean, should they have DFA'd him? I don't know. But I'm not really, like, upset about it.
Yeah, no, that was just me thinking.
Yeah, no, they definitely could have. But again, you know, he's shown a year plus now that he's not the same player that he used to be.
And now he'll go and be the best player that we've ever seen in our lives now that he's not
here. All the Dodgers, yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling my dad this today, actually. I was like, it just seems like anytime, like, either the Astros or the Dodgers, even the Yankees, too, like, they call up guys and they'll just be phenomenal. Like, look at Blanco from Houston. He had a no-hitter, and then he had a no-hitter going into, what, the fifth or sixth inning in the next game? He almost threw two no-hitters in a row.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and this guy's 30 years old. Where has this guy been this whole time?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know what I noticed? These teams that have these prospects, they have the worst trade luck as well.
Yeah.
Like they'll get these players that are supposed to be really good, and then they'll just suck on their team. They'll have lost a bunch of prospects, but they don't care because they have a bunch of other prospects.
Yeah, I guess.
So
I don't know. Just seems that way. But, like, yeah, I mean,
Sorry to distract, but that was just. Yeah.
But I don't know. But yeah, I think I going back to like the closer thing, I think they could go out and get a, you know, a set closer. You know, him even like coming in and be like, okay, you're the guy, you're the closer. Because then the guy expects to be the closer. You know what I mean? Like you're not okay, Alvarado tonight, you're the closer. And then he's like, wait, what? I'm the closer tonight? Oh God. And he freaks out. Like, no, going in, you know, through the whole season, this person knows that they're the closer and they know to expect it. So I think that's just better for guys mentally as well.
It's the same thing as our lineup argument. Keep the lineup consistent and get these guys comfortable so that they can actually perform.
Which Rob Thompson has done. Like, there's been a few guys, there are a few changes here and there, but, you know, other than Stott and Marsh not playing against lefties, which they should, he's kept the lineup relatively the same, which is fine. Again, he's had Schwarber 1, Turner 2, Harper 3. When Rubio plays, he goes 4, and I think it's been, what, Bohm 5, Stott 6, Castellanos 7, Marsh 8, Rojas 9. So, you know, to me, again, Stott and Marsh should play every day, and at this point, I think you got to give Pache some shots in center.
Yeah, there's really nothing else to add to that.
Yeah.
But let's wrap up our Philly segment and walk it off here. And then let's shortly talk about the disappointing Flyer season.
Yeah, again, man. Really, you know, it's a shame. But expected, but also, you know, not. I mean,
the Canadians just scored.
Oh, great. they can't play defense, man. It's just really bad. It's obviously losing Carter Hart, you know, kind of screwed them over. You know, and you know, I know John Tortorella's come out and said, oh, we expected this, but like, I mean, did you really? Like, you can say that, but I don't really think that's the case, in my opinion. I mean, you know, again, you started off the year so good, then you lose Carter Hart. You were still playing well after that, but then it caught up to you eventually. So they're just struggling really bad, man. And again, they need to play better defense, and I don't know if they can.
I mean, they're still – don't get me wrong. They're pretty bad right now. But, hey, you know, kind of just is what it is.
They still exceeded expectations. They really did. They really did. You know, again, they gave us some hope, which is a good and bad thing, you know. It kind of revitalized the city in the team, but also, you know, you're struggling now, and you're expecting to make the playoffs at this point, but might not happen now.
Well, yeah.
Still could. It doesn't look good.
It doesn't, no. It really doesn't look too good. But hey.
I'm waiting for a butt, but I don't think there's one coming.
I don't think that there is one coming for you, buddy. I really think that you have to look at this season without any bias and say, did we really expect it? I think that there's been a lot of tort slander lately because, players don't like playing for them. All the stuff that you heard before, and now people are falling for it, and you got Philly media jumping on it. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. I hope you guys didn't hear that. But kind of just is what it is there. So,
yeah.
Look, I wish I had more for you, but it's just a watch and see kind of thing.
Yeah.
You have anything to add there?
Not really.
Good. UConn won the tournament.
It did.
Boo.
Boo.
I wanted NC State to make that tournament, to make the championship so bad. Oh my God.
That would have been cool. They got pooped on by Purdue.
I know they did. It was such a shame.
Yeah. Shame.
It's a shame. All right, at this point, I think we've reached our destination for the day. We'd like to thank you for listening to the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Go to phlsportsnation.com for all your Philly sports wants, needs, and desires. go to the podcast tab, go to the PHL bandwagon. You can find us on Spotify there. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. We're most likely there. If not, shoot us an email at phlthebandwagon@gmail.com and let us know what service you'd like us to be added to, and we'll do our best to get there. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at the PHL Bandwagon. We share weekly polls. We love the engagement, and we love talking with you guys and hearing your opinions, so feel free to comment, but please make sure not to, you know, threaten anyone in the comment section, because people are wild. Just had to put that disclaimer out there. Will not be tolerated. Moving on, you can follow me at PHL Ryan Michaels. You can follow Chip at PHL Chip Tiernan. We also share our episodes weekly on Facebook, so feel free to look there. We don't share our polls there. Their polling system is hot garbage. Go to the Weg Shop, get your TBW merchandise, hoodies, hats, T-shirts. Sun's out, guns out, summer's right around the corner. Get those T-shirts. If I see you with a TBW shirt, I will be sure to say hi, and you'll wonder why this chubby bearded man is coming over to talk to me, and it's why. So, well, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you at the next stop, and go Philadelphia.
Yeah, go Philly. Phillies.
Dude, those Canuck jerseys kind of suck.
I'm underwhelmed.
I know. They made it out to be this big thing. It's like, Philly. Wow. I'm really impressed. Great job, Fanatics. I'm super happy.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I've been thrilled about the uniforms all year round, too. They're so good. Like, no one sweats through them, which is exactly what they're supposed to be, quote-unquote, made for. Mm. And, like, you totally didn't desecrate an entire sports jersey system, which was probably the best jerseys made, you know? The button downs, the pinstripes, the stitching, and instead you went and took an iron stamp and stamped on everyone's logo. You know, I don't like the Braves, but the Braves had nice jerseys, and you made them look like what's the word I'm looking for? A macaroni art hung on the refrigerator.
Wow.
Yeah, the names are so small. I feel like I need stronger prescription glasses, which I don't.
Well, maybe.
I don't actually. It just got checked. And the MLB logo underneath the back line of the shirt looks like poop. And I'll be honest with you, if you want people to buy expensive stuff, you know, people used to buy it for the quality, and you decided that you don't really give a crap about anyone, including the players. Nor do you care about the fans. You'll give them absolute crap service for, I don't know, what, the past however long they existed, and not care about it. And then you go on social media and you see, oh, you know, feel free to reach out to us for help. It's like, oh, but you wouldn't help until I tweeted something about it, would you? No, you wouldn't have. God, they've ruined everything.
Feel better now?
Yeah. Are you telling me you don't feel that way?
No, I agree.
Who doesn't actually agree?
Yeah.
I have yet to see someone who disagrees with me that Fanatics is hot garbage, that ruins everything, is trying to monopolize sports and make everything as cheap as possible to make a quick buck off of the fans. And you know what? That's why I'm not going to buy a jersey anytime soon.
All right. Again. Well, there goes your sponsorship with Fanatics.
Yeah, I was totally going to accept a sponsorship from a company I despise.
Hey, man. Money's money.
Do you really care?
No.
Would you have felt great telling your friends, oh, Fanatics sponsors me, you can get this, and then they don't get it, or it's ripped in half, or the number is sideways, and the name is in Spanish?
Imagine you order a jersey and the name is in another language.
Yeah, it's just like there's Chinese on the back. I don't know who this is. I don't know what this means. Can you help me? I don't just
the number's different too.
I tried to put it in Google Translate and nothing came up. It
didn't even work, yeah.
It didn't even work.
Oh man, this was a tangent.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
See you at the next stop.
Is anyone still listening at this point? Probably not. All right, see you guys if you are.